It's too many young angels on the south side. Gotta scared to let our grandmamas outside. You gon' make me take the campus way downtown. You gon' make me turn my BM to my house wide. Grossberg, it can took so long my tippy toes hurt. You can keep the nose ring, I don't have to soul search. I'm still at my right. Own church, only ever soul merch. Grandma say I'm coach.
Morning everybody, how you doing? Nick DiCilio here, 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Friday, Fly Jams Friday coming up. That's appropriate with us listening to that piece of music there. Fly Jams Friday is coming up. We're going to narrow down our dummy of the year. It'll be our first bracket this morning till we get to our dummy of the year in You Big Dummy. We got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. A lot of them because we've been off for a couple of weeks, so they've been kind of piling up a little bit. So those regular segments will be a little bit longer this morning. So that's all coming up a little bit later on. Now, as the new year begins, we always talk about wrapping up the old year. And as I've mentioned before, Monday morning, Colin Suter and Eric Childress we'll be here live in studio, and we will do our full summation of the year in movies, 2016, the best, the worst, subcategories, and everything in between. We'll take care of that on Monday morning. We did the year in TV yesterday morning with Dan Feinberg, and now we're going to talk about the year in music with Jim Ryan. And Jim, who you can hear doing traffic reports on different radio stations, including this one every once in a while.
Including this one. Yes.
How you doing, Jim?
Good. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. And you do the traffic in the helicopter and all that stuff.
For NBC5 in studio and in the helicopter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do all that and then some writing a lot. You know.
Yeah. And well, you're here to talk about music, not traffic.
Yes.
Yes. You would rather talk about traffic? I can bring Esmeralda in and we can all just talk traffic.
You know what? There's. I think we're going to have something later we can talk to Esmeralda about.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, he writes about music. Jim writes about music for the Daily Herald. And you got a Chicago Now blog called Chicago by Night.
That is correct, yes.
And you write about music. You've been into music. And when did you start getting into music? At a young age?
A young age. Convinced my parents when I was 4 to take me to see Michael Jackson. So it's kind of blown up from there.
And that was the Jacksons, right?
It was the victory tour. Correct.
Was that at Comiskey?
October of 84 at Comiskey.
Wow. Yes. And you were how old?
I was 4.
You were 4?
I think it was a week before my birthday.
How much do you remember of it?
I remember that he encored with Beat It and Billie Jean.
Yeah, well, it's like everybody sat through the whole thing
and then
just so he could come out and do
that.
Did they do Torture?
I don't remember if they did Torture, but I know there was stuff from that album. Like, what was Jermaine's big single from that?
Oh, I don't even know. The only thing I remember off of that album is Torture.
What was State of Shock?
Oh, yeah, State of Shock. That's it. Yeah,
State of Shock. State of Shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Michael throwing his brothers one last bone.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, that was your first concert. Do you remember the first album you ever bought?
First, I could tell you on CD the first one I bought.
Okay.
I don't know about vinyl.
All right.
First one on CD was REM, Automatic for the People.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was a little bit late to it.
You were late in 91?
Automatic.
Oh,
was
Automatic was, yeah, that was.
I think Out of Time was 91.
Yeah, Out of Time was 91. That's what that damn Losing My Religion
ubiquitous
song.
Video.
Yeah. So anyway, well, your music, you love music, and you've been here a few times to talk music with us. You covered Lollapalooza, you covered Riot Fest for us, and now we want to talk about the year in music.
All right.
Overall, for you, in your opinion, see, I'm not as up on the new stuff as I'm an old man now, man. So I trust you to inform me of what's happening. Now, what we just heard coming out of the break, I'm obviously familiar with Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, hard to live here at Napa.
Yeah,
right?
And by the way, he was phenomenal on SNL a couple of weeks ago.
I love him.
I think he's great. And I have not been a hip hop guy for a long time.
Okay.
Like here's how long it's been since I've been like really into hip hop. When The Chronic came out, I thought it was the end of the world.
And now we're celebrating that era in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's kind of amazing.
25 years, by the way. The Chronic is 25 years old.
That's insane.
Isn't it nuts?
It's to think where Dr. Dre has gone since then.
I know.
Like he's like a
now he
impresario.
Sells headphones, man. Yeah.
It's amazing.
So let's talk about the year in music in general. How did you feel about it?
Some good, some bad.
Uh-huh.
You know, I felt like this was a year where, and maybe this is my fault, because I always complain when people tell me that they're not hearing anything good new. Maybe I'm not digging enough.
Yeah.
But I felt like there was a lot of cool stuff from the old guard But there was also some great new stuff. Chance the Rapper, we played coming out of the break.
What a year for that guy. And
in so many ways.
You're saying that the Grammys might really put him over the top. Is that what you think?
I think he's kind of blown up nationally this year. Obviously, the Kit Kat commercial and all that stuff.
Yeah.
SNL and the Kanye collaborations. But he's up for, I think it's 7 Grammys.
Yeah.
And
he's the favorite, I would imagine.
I would think he's the favorite. Yeah. I mean, you know Kanye is going to win stuff, so he's going to be up there at the very least with Kanye. I think the most amazing part of this story this year with Chance the Rapper and the Grammys is that he forced them to recognize streaming because he still has not signed with a label.
That's unprecedented.
I think it's the first time ever, literally in the Grammy history, they're now recognizing streaming because of, otherwise it wouldn't have been
possible
to nominate that album.
Possibly the biggest story of the year music-wise?
I think it's one of them,
yeah.
Yeah, to me it is. And I think it's a great one, too, because you hear so many artists complain that they can't make money in, 2016. It's impossible to make money. Well, just follow the Chance the Rapper blueprint because that guy has done everything independent and he's killing it right now.
And then on top of that, he's from here.
Yeah, which is a positive story too.
It is, man.
Actually rally around it.
This city has taken it on the chin for a couple of years now, and it's nice to have that kind of local story be such a great positive thing.
It's nice to see him kind of push Chief Keef aside and take the spotlight.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought it was kind of astounding that he did a 4.5-minute song on SNL about Jesus.
And
this day and age, and I was like, I found that refreshing, and the song's great.
And he talks so much about, he's from the South Side, obviously.
Yeah.
And he really put his money where his mouth is this year by staging that huge festival at U.S. Cellular Field. I mean, he brought that to the South Side. Usually you only see the concerts and everything at Wrigley. And I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, the biggest crowd in the history of U.S. Cellular Field. Mm-hmm. Sold it out plus standing room, 47,000. I mean,
yeah,
it's a fantastic. It's been a great year to be a fan of Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to. I think it's going to continue.
I think so too.
It's going to continue. He's only going to get bigger and bigger.
Yep.
And deservedly so, man.
Yeah.
I mean, because I had no idea who he was. His first appearance on SNL.
Okay.
The first appearance.
Sure.
Was my introduction to him. Like, I had heard about him, but I wasn't really. And when I saw him on SNL, I was like, oh boy.
I saw him tweet a couple of weeks ago too to tell you, in addition to SNL, how much TV time he's gotten this year. He posted, I think, on Facebook or Twitter that it was his goal this year to perform every single track on Coloring Book on TV, and he was only a couple short.
So right?
Yeah, he was taking suggestions toward the end of the year. It was kind of amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. So Chance the Rapper, of the positive things of 2016.
Uh-huh. And positive for Chicago.
Positive for Chicago, absolutely. Well, let's go to the other end of the spectrum, and we'll get back to the good stuff. We got time here to chat. What is maybe the worst or the most disappointing thing about 2016, or one of the stories that makes you nuts?
I think it's amazing how few new up and coming acts can fill arenas. You see filling the big venues, the stadiums, the arenas, is pretty much the old guys, with a couple of exceptions. Kanye did a stadium tour. I just saw in a couple of weeks the Lumineers are performing in Allstate Arena. That kind of shocked me. But
is that right?
Yeah, with Andrew Bird opening.
Is that going to sell out? I mean,
I was curious when I heard it on the radio.
What do you get? About
shocked.
20,000 at the.
I think the way they set it up, they block out one end.
Oh, because the back end. So like 18,000 maybe.
But I would think it's got to be close to that. Yeah, with the floor. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's kind of amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah.
So it's incredible who is filling those type of venues and who's not. But by and large, most people aren't.
Mm.
And I don't exactly see that changing. I mean, the tickets are so expensive now.
Yeah.
I mean, like when you and I were growing up, you could go see a ton of concerts in the summer, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I would go. I remember in the 80s, in the mid-80s, we were at Poplar Creek every other week.
And I grew up in the South Suburbs.
Every week, yeah.
It was the same for me in Tinley Park.
Yeah.
I would go to tons of concerts in the 90s just because it was an affordable thing. You could grab a lawn ticket. It didn't cost. The parking was wrapped right into the ticket. It was easy to do.
Yeah.
Now everybody saves up their money to go to one festival.
Yeah. Exactly. And I blew a lot of money on Pearl Jam this past year, and I only went once. I went Saturday. I went to the first show.
Speaking of great stories this year, though, God.
Please. Yeah, no, good year for Pearl Jam. Good year for Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, those two shows at Wrigley were, I didn't go to the second one.
I went to the second one, but not the first one.
Yeah, I went to the first. I went to Saturday, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I saw the set list and saw some of the footage from the Monday show.
I'm trying to think back to what the first couple tracks they opened with, because it was one of those ones where they start with kind of a slow churn before they start to. I think they open with Ocean's Footsteps and Off He Goes.
Yeah. Wow. That's an interesting way to open the show.
It's pretty amazing.
And they made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's some good and there's some bad in that crowd, but yeah.
Well, so who did make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? How many inductees were there?
There was you have Journey,
yeah.
You have Yes, you have Pearl Jam, you have Joan Baez,
mm-hmm.
ELO, Nile Rodgers of Chic,
yeah.
And Tupac.
I think that's a pretty good list. Now you're not a Yes fan.
You
say no to Yes.
No, exactly right. I'm not a huge backer of Yes.
I'm not a huge backer from Owner of a Lonely Heart on.
Pre-Owner
of a Lonely Heart, I'm a backer, big time. 70s, there, Yes, all over it.
If there was a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for bad sound effects in an 80s song, well, Owner of a Lonely Heart, I think, tops the list.
We spent about 15 minutes on the show yesterday morning talking about Simmons pads, Simmons drums.
Okay, yeah.
You know, that sound.
Yes.
You can hear that on 90210 or whatever the hell the name of that record was, 92105 or whatever. Whatever that Yes album with the Owner of a Lonely Heart was the name of. 90215. 90125.
I know.
90125. 90125. That's the name of the album. Okay. Trust me.
All right.
But anyway, so you're not a Yes fan.
I'm not a Yes fan.
Did you get into any prog rock at all when you were growing up?
See, that's
so you're not a prog rock guy.
That's not my thing.
So songs over 4 minutes, you're like, enough.
See, that doesn't necessarily bother me. I love Neil Young.
Oh.
There's lots of 9-minute,
there are.
Rocking guitar tracks in that catalog.
Yeah. Needle and the Damage Done is like 12 minutes long.
I mean, I think of Yes and I think of Rick Wakeman. And I think back to, like, the thing he did on ice.
Oh, yeah. It was King Arthur,
man. It was a little out there.
It's King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table on ice.
See, the argument I keep hearing in support of Yes and in support of Journey is that they sold a lot of records.
That's not my argument.
Okay.
My argument, I think Yes is a great band. I think they're incredibly talented musicians.
Do you think they influenced a lot of artists coming after
them? I do.
Okay, like who?
Flaming Lips.
Really?
Oh, yeah, without question.
All right.
Without question, the Lips were influenced by Yes.
Okay, because my complaint on that would have been that if Yes and Journey did anything, it was to incite music that rebelled against them.
Journey, Yes. I'm saying yes, the word yes, but I'm agreeing with you that Journey, indeed, I agree with that assessment of Journey.
But you don't think punk
not
rock
with
was
yes.
born out of a hatred for prog rock
I don't think so. I think a hatred for corporate rock more than prog rock.
Right.
Although I'm sure it was an answer to prog rock as well, because like punk songs are a minute and a half long,
right.
whereas a Yes song is 26 minutes long.
Correct.
But particularly the album that, if you listen to it now, the Flaming Lips album, that is incredibly inspired by Yes. So do I. I love them too. Soft Bulletin. The Soft Bulletin would not exist without Yes.
All right.
So go back and listen to it.
Reevaluate that.
I'm telling you, man. You got to trust me on this one. All right, hang on, okay? We got a break for the news. And Jim Ryan is here. We're going to talk more music, the best and worst of 2016, your favorite albums, your favorite concerts, all that cool stuff. But we got to take a break here for the news, and we'll come back right after this on 720 WGN. Morning. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. It's Friday morning. Fly Jams Friday coming up. And we've got my special request for Fly Jams Friday this week are all George Michael songs. So we'll be hearing some funky George Michael for Fly Jams Friday. And also we've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. And we will crown our Dummy of the Year in a couple of weeks on our first round of dummies. We will do the best of, and we've got the Dummy of the Year coming up. All the news stories, all the dumb news stories from last year, we will crown a dummy of 2016. And in studio with me right now, we're talking about movies and music. I'm sorry, music. Jim Ryan is here, and he writes for the Daily Herald and the blog Chicago by Night. And at Radio Jim Ryan is where you can be followed on Twitter.
Correct.
All right. Welcome, man.
Thank you.
That was Beck.
Okay. Are you familiar with that song?
No, I'm not. I'm not a Beck guy.
So you can kind of tell, though, in that clip we played, his foray a little bit into hip-hop.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yeah.
So do you remember earlier this year when he was called out by Kanye West?
No.
Kanye was trying to...
Wait, Kanye called somebody out?
Beck, of all people. he was trying to go at pop stars who he thought had no substance and couldn't play any instruments, and he singled out the wrong guy. He singled out Beck.
He singled out Beck?
Who plays, like, I think it's like 14 instruments or something.
Yeah. What an idiot.
Yeah. So... I wish I could take credit for this theory, but I can't. This was pointed out to me by a producer at Channel 5.
Okay.
That song probably, because it was only released as a single. Beck's got an album coming out later this year, his first since 2014. But he just threw that song out online as a single. That could totally be his response to Kanye, like kind of flipping him the bird, like, you want to see me do hip-hop?
Yeah.
I'll do hip-hop.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are amazing. If you pay attention to lyrics, they're... complete nonsense. My favorite lyric is, standing on the lawn, doing jujitsu, girl in a bikini with the Lamborghini Shih Tzu. So it's just Beck, I think, giving the middle finger to
Yeah,
Kanye,
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Which is great. It's one of my favorite tracks of the year.
Okay, there you go. Some of the other things to talk about here. Let's go to concerts for a little bit.
Okay.
You mentioned best concerts. You went to Guns N' Roses.
I went both nights.
You went both
I had tickets for the first one, and it was so good. I jumped online, and they were low on the, and they were not going for a lot of money for the second night on the secondary market, because I think 140,000 people was probably too much.
Yeah,
but it was fantastic. Are you a fan?
I'm not a fan.
Okay,
I know I'm in the minority. I like exactly two songs by Guns N' Roses.
Which two?
One in a Million, Civil War.
Okay.
That's it.
They played one of those.
They played One in a Million, I would imagine. Yeah.
No,
they didn't play One in a Million?
No, that's One in a Million's got those kind of controversial.
Yeah, I know, but I thought they played Civil War.
Played Civil War and Estranged, and they did all the long epics.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So were you a fan of Appetite came out?
So I love Guns N' Roses. Yeah. I do have a soft spot for GNR, and I've seen them actually with Axl's band of Merry Men these last 10 or 15 years a couple times.
And how was that?
I've always enjoyed it. I think they put on a good show. Now, granted, it takes 10 people on stage to do what, you know, 5 or 6 people did this time around.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. Still sing.
Was there Axl can still sing?
Yeah.
I never thought he could.
That part of me still scream.
Yeah, there you go. That's really my number one problem with the band is I can't stand Axl's voice.
I could see him. You either there's really no in between.
No,
you're going to either hate him or love him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Now, did they get on time?
Yes.
And they
every night on this tour they got on.
Is that right?
And the rumors were that part of the contract the band signed with Live Nation was that they didn't get paid if they didn't go on time. Lo and behold, every single show on the tour they went on time.
Now, you know, it's one of my favorite stories ever was when was on the Metallica Behind the Music. Do you remember that episode, Jim?
Is this Lars with the
talking about how you know what's the night Hatfield blew up?
Yeah, in Montreal. Yeah,
yeah, in Montreal, Hatfield blew up. He stood in a pyro.
Correct.
And they had to stop the show. Uh-huh. And then they said that it was like Rome was burning.
Rome was burning are the exact words Lars uses. And he's like, Axl could have gone out there and saved the day.
He's downstairs drinking wine.
And smoking the cigarette in the long wooden cigarette holder, complaining about his voice.
It's ridiculous. But they were great then, huh? It must have been like, I mean, as a huge fan, right? I mean, it had to be really special to have all those guys
there.
You
know, like I say, those other shows I've seen were always good.
Yeah.
So I figured I knew what to expect with this, and it was still... that much better because Slash really is fantastic live.
Were too young to see him in their heyday, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. I remember when everything hit the fan in Alpine.
Yeah,
because Axl. I think he was arrested at Alpine.
Yeah, I think he was arrested
in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember it
because you know, like Appetite came out in '87. You were seven, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
that's my first 45, by the way.
Welcome to the Jungle. Yeah. There you go. And Use Your Illusions was in '91,
right?
And that tour was '92,
correct?
Yeah. So that was you were a little too young.
Yep. Close.
So all right, what you had already seen the Jackson, so you were fine.
Yes. You know, so Slash collaborated, you know.
All right. Now, talk a little bit about Prophets of Rage.
I'm not a huge fan of the album.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do a lot for me, but I love everybody involved.
Yeah.
Chuck D, it's part of Public, it's basically Public Enemy minus Flavor Flav.
Right.
And,
which is
Rage
fine.
Exactly. Rage Against the Machine without Zach.
Right.
And Be Real from Cypress Hill.
Right.
And I gotta say, the person who who kept that, who was the strongest part of that set outside like Tom Morello, was Be Real.
Are you seriously?
I'm dead serious. I was not
more than Chuck
it.
D.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Be Real doing the Zach vocals on the more rockin' tracks.
Yeah.
Was fantastic.
How big a crowd did they have?
Not big.
Was this at the World?
This was in, yeah, this was
whatever
in
the
Park.
What's the name of the
I think it's
first
Hollywood,
Midwest?
No, they've changed it again. It's Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Are you serious? When
serious.
Did that happen?
I think it was last summer.
That's ridiculous.
So it's named after a casino in
Hollywood
Joliet.
Casino. Yeah. A casino in Joliet, and it's in Tinley Park.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So Prophets of Rage, good good show, great show, but not a great album.
That's my my take on it.
Okay. All right. That's an all-star. That's one of those all-star lineups.
Yep,
right there.
Group.
And then Pearl Jam at Wrigley.
You know, like, I feel like all these selections so far for best concerts are super obvious, but, man, every single one of them was great. I mean, how great was Pearl Jam?
They were amazing.
Yeah.
We went different nights. I went Saturday. You went Monday.
And I think they played, you know, I think each set list was like 35 songs or something.
They played like almost 3.5 hours.
Yeah,
on the Saturday night.
Yeah, and it was pretty close the next night.
And you know, then Eddie came out, brought out the Santo family, and
right.
they sang "Someday We'll Go All the Way."
And then the covers. I mean, just it's very Springsteen-esque in terms of the command of catalog. It seems like they're capable of kicking out a a B side from 10 at any given moment.
It's amazing how that band has changed.
Yeah,
and what they've become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they've evolved into.
Yeah.
It did it in such an amazing way over the course of 25 years now. And
do you remember kind of like mid-90s, I'm thinking about no code era? I mean, it seemed like they were kind of, falling downward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had done Soldier Field and those huge venues on the anti-Ticketmaster tour.
Right, right.
And things were going real bad. There was the Roskilde shortly after that. I mean, it seemed like it was trending bad for them.
Yeah.
To think where it's come since then is kind of amazing.
It is. It really is. And they've, and I know that they're not a jam band,
right.
but that's the circuit they're on now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really,
in some
ways,
like when they kick out Rearview Mirror for like 12 minutes.
Sure. Yeah. But they're also appealing to that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think we've talked about this in the past. I'm a huge Dave Matthews fan.
Okay.
And
okay. I don't know. I don't mind them. I saw them earlier this summer, actually.
Yeah. And they're phenomenal for me. But I see a lot of the same people. I saw when I was at Wrigley. I saw a lot of the same people.
Okay, that's
it's that same kind of crowd, that goes to those. They've tapped into that. They've gone beyond. Yeah, they've gone beyond just being Pearl Jam, like the grunge act of the 90s, and moved on to like a stadium band.
Yeah, I don't even know what you classify them as now because it's not grunge. They're not really a jam band, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
they're not a classic rock band either.
Yeah.
I just guess a rock
they're
band.
They're Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
That's it. They're
great.
They're
hard to classify, which is in a good way.
I want to mention a concert that I saw.
Please.
That I loved, and it's an unusual one.
Okay.
John Carpenter, the director of Halloween and The Fog and all those movies, he composes all of his music for his movies.
Okay.
He toured with a band, including his son, in a full rock band.
Where was it at?
At Talia Hall.
That's
and it was
a cool venue for that.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal, and
I was going to mention him later.
Yeah. Oh,
in a roundabout way.
Oh, you okay? Well, do you want to wait till later to mention him?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, that was one of my favorite things that I did all summer.
Was
go to that.
That's a pretty good one,
and it was great. And he played themes from his movies, and he's got two albums that are called Lost Themes 1 and Lost Themes 2, and he played that stuff too.
How old is he now?
Carpenter's in his 60s.
Man.
Late 60s, 67, 68, maybe.
That's so cool because he doesn't have to be out there doing that.
No. No, and it was his son Cody up there next to him.
Okay,
and these guys in the band are like in their 20s, and he rocked out all the music.
See, sometimes though, like Paul McCartney is the same way. Like his band is like everyone in the band is like 35 or 40.
Yeah,
and I think it kind of forces him to kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
And it's probably a similar thing when you're playing with guys that young.
And they had like big screens behind them, so they're showing clips from the movies
while it was cool.
It was great. That was one of my favorite concerts of the year.
I love that stuff because it's so different.
It is. It was great, and there were so many horror dorks in the audience. It was just the place was packed too. He sold out the Talia Hall, not a huge venue, but he was packed.
Okay,
and we were all dorks. It was just a bunch of dorks, and we were just like smiling and giddy. Like he'd play the theme from Escape from New York, everybody would just start screaming, "Yeah!"
That's fantastic.
It was great.
All right, worst concerts. Coolio. What happened to Coolio?
Coolio. So it was the I Love the 90s tour. Do you remember?
I do.
Did
yes.
you see this?
No, I mean I didn't see it, but I know.
Right. Well, it was Coolio, Tone Loc. DJ Rob bass, no Easy Rock, because Easy Rock has passed.
Yes.
So just DJ Rob bass. Tone Loc, who else? Vanilla Ice and Salt and Pepper.
Mm.
Salt and Pepper was fantastic.
Of course they were. They rule.
They were outstanding.
Was Spinderella there?
Spinderella was there.
Okay, cool.
She's back in the fold. I think there was some friction there between the three of them for a while, but they're...
Yeah, well, I think that all eased up for the Geico commercial.
Okay.
Because they all three of them were in the Geico commercial. Because I remember seeing the Geico commercial for the first time. I'm like, push it. Push it real good. And then... Like, you see Salt and Pepper, and right. Then, like, in the last vignette, there's Spinderella, and I'm like, Spinderella's there!
I was supposed to interview Spinderella for the Daily
Herald. Oh, what happened?
It fell through.
No!
Before. I was so mad.
Oh, no.
I was so excited. I had prepped. I was ready.
So, yeah. Coolio was the standout as the worst?
Because Coolio, I missed Tone Loc. I heard Tone Loc was horrible.
Yeah.
But
did, did he play all of his two hits?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, these guys would go on, and then... Obviously, this tour was on a budget, but it sold out Allstate Arena. Incredibly, that was sold out that night. One guy up there with a sound stage, no DJ, nothing. They would hit play on it, and he would just sing over it. Coolio actually left the stage after like three songs and just started taking selfies of people on the floor and never came back.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. It was amazing. I had never seen anything like it. I was like, what is going on right now?
What's
happening here?
Did the crowd not revolt?
Well, I mean, everybody was swarming him on the floor. It was amazing.
To get a selfie with Coolio.
Now, he was trending on Twitter because of the fact that he was taking... he was trending locally, not nationally, but yes, Coolio was trending.
So was the dude who pressed play just standing on the stage? Like,
And then he would spin stuff between sets. Because for some reason they needed time between sets, you know.
Oh, my God.
Put a new mic up, I guess.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, one person, he would just sing over the recorded tracks.
What kind of crowd was it? Was it an older crowd?
It was an older crowd. It was, I would say, 35 to 45.
Yeah.
And very white. That was your crowd. and very, very heavy on the female end. I was a designated driver that night, and it was an amazing thing to behold.
I bet, man. Okay, well... Hang on a second.
Sure.
We come back. And the other worst concert that you mentioned here, I want to get to immediately.
Yes.
After the break, because I can't believe we didn't talk about it the last time we were
here.
Yeah,
there's a couple in there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is just ridiculous. All right, we'll take a break. Jim Ryan is with us. You can follow him on Twitter, at Radio Jim Ryan. You can read him in the Daily Herald and Chicago Now blog, Chicago by Night. The year of music continues right after this break on WGN.
Was that I stepped outside? And in the instant I knew I would not forget the sight. Alabama at night, Alabama at night.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Fly Jams Friday coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, and we will begin our journey towards Dummy of the Year. Jim Ryan is here. He writes about music for the Daily Herald and Chicago Now blog, Chicago by Night, and we're talking about the year in music. Jim, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Robbie Foulkes.
Oh, my God, I love him.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he's doing a Monday night residency at the Hideout?
He's done it for years, yeah. It's a fantastic. If you're not familiar with him, it's a great way to... He picks a different theme every Monday night and then kills it for like an hour and a half. It's $10. I mean, to give you an idea of the range that you can expect to see, because you never know what he's going to do on a given Monday, I've seen him do an entire set of Clash outtakes.
Wow.
Playing electric guitar with a band. And then I've seen him do an entire set acoustic doing Harry Nilsson covers.
Amazing. He's incredible.
Fantastic guitar player, too. Underrated.
And he was nominated for a Grammy for that.
13 albums in 30 years. And finally, in 2017,
his first nominee.
He's nominated twice this year.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It only took that long.
Yeah.
Only took 30 years. Robbie Foulkes, phenomenal. All right, before we get back to the good stuff, let's talk a little bit about Third Eye Blind at the Park West.
So, am I correct? Is that a favorite of Esmeralda? We've talked about
yes.
Third Eye Blind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This was right after, if you remember, they were making their first headlines in like 20 years. Because they had acted out at the
RNC,
Republican convention.
Yeah.
So this was shortly thereafter. And I remember, you know, I had the list of publicity contacts. I'm like, I had singled that one out because they were doing an after show at Park West.
Right.
And it sold out. And I was like, I really would like to go and cover that one because if something weird's going to happen, I got a hunch that's the show. and nothing back from a publicist. Email again, nothing back, nothing back, nothing back. Not even a, you know, we're not granting access for this one, nothing. So I'm like, okay, now I really got to find my way into this.
Yeah.
And tickets were going for $95 on StubHub the day of the thing.
That's amazing.
And I found a guy, a friend of mine found a guy on Craigslist who was trying to unload them for $20. We're like, there we go.
All right.
So we go in, and Stephen Jenkins comes out on stage, appeared to be...
had a couple.
Yeah, something was going on okay. there. And immediately informs the crowd that he will not be playing any hits, that if you want to see hits, you should come back to Lollapalooza tomorrow, because they were playing the next day. And proceeds to do not a single hit for like an hour and a half, and the crowd's getting mad, people are yelling stuff at him. He's clearly reveling in this, just loving it. Comes out to do the encore in a dress and says to the crowd, are you enjoying yourself so far? Because I am.
That's amazing.
Just antagonize the crowd all night
long. Did the crowd stay? Did people leave?
The crowd stayed. I've read more about this. They have this really weird cult following where people are like obsessed with him, which I didn't know going into it. It explains
really?
Why tickets were like $100 on StubHub. Yeah, it's very. Check into this. Trust me, it's very weird.
Is it because of what he might do? Is that what it is? Like people?
I don't know. I don't.
Is he a loose cannon? Or?
Because there were people who knew. You know, they were playing like cut 4 from album 5 that I didn't even know they had, and people were into it. So it was not like, and then you had your people who were there for Lollapalooza who were drunk, who had been in the sun all day, who were yelling stuff, and he loved that.
Oh my God.
He was eating it up. But they did play Jumper. They did play, they closed.
Oh, they did.
They did play one hit.
They played one hit, and he was in a dress.
In a dress, okay. Inebriated. And then I did go back and see them at Lollapalooza the next day, and it was, you know, just rolled out the hits.
Rolled out. Was he sober?
He seemed it. Yeah.
No
very,
dress.
Very engaging. No dress. It was what you'd expect in the festival setting.
So you saw Third Eye Blind twice in two days.
Twice in 24 hours.
And twice in 24 hours. That's really unbelievable, man.
Yeah, that's dedication.
That's dedication. All right.
As I said to you, I think the last time I was here, I do this so you don't have to.
That's something I wouldn't do. I got to tell you, seeing Third Eye Blind twice in a day, I wouldn't do. All right, let's go back to your favorite albums of the year. Let's talk about the David Bowie album. And obviously the people who died in the music world in 2016.
Year, yeah.
You know, but before we get to that, let's talk. We had Prince, Bowie, Leon Russell.
I got the list here.
George Michael, Glenn Frey, Fife Dog.
And Glenn Frey, by the way, was 8 days after Bowie.
Yeah. Bowie was like a week after Lemmy, if I remember correctly.
That's because Lemmy,
he died in 2015.
December 28th. Yeah. He was 4 days away from making it to 2016.
So he
kicked it off.
Yeah, Lemmy kind of kicked it off, and then it just didn't.
So you mentioned Prince. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget Vanity.
Yep, Vanity passed
away.
Yep.
Fife Dog was 45. Yeah, Leon Russell. Sharon Jones.
Yes.
I didn't even know Sharon Jones was sick.
Yeah.
And saw her earlier this summer. She was opening up for Hall & Oates in Tinley Park.
Is that right?
And was absolutely fantastic. And I didn't know she was sick.
I didn't either.
I thought she had cut the hair.
Yeah. And Maurice White
was so good.
From Earth, Wind, and
from
Fire.
From Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Legendary.
Merle Haggard.
God.
Sir George Martin. Keith Emerson. Paul Kantner.
Greg Lake. Yeah. Speaking of Keith Emerson.
Leonard Cohen. Yeah. Do we count Alan Thicke?
Sure. Sure. He wrote music. He sang. Absolutely.
Yeah. Different Strokes theme.
Boy, what rough year.
Yeah,
man.
It was Scotty Moore, Elvis's guitar player. Bernie Worrell from P-Funk. Yeah, it's an insane list.
So, but Bowie left behind the one of the best albums he's ever. I think one of the best.
So
albums.
So you're a fan of it? Yeah.
Oh my God,
it's amazing, and it's again a challenging listen. Like,
especially knowing now what we know.
There's such a jazz element to it. I love the saxophone on it.
Yeah.
But I was just reading last week. People are still finding like hidden meanings in that album. I mean, it's incredible to me how he treated dying as one last art project, really. I mean, the whole everything about it is just
it's a pretty astonishing record. It's called Black Star, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Bowie's last album. And then we got to talk about Tribe Called Quest.
Oh my God,
come on, man.
Like, what did you think of the SNL performance?
Oh,
they killed
come
it, right?
on, it was like, amazing.
And it was touching when they rolled out the picture of Fife
that, by the way, that whole episode, that was the Chappelle episode.
Yes,
that whole
was
episode
fantastic.
Was amazing.
Yes, I agree.
Amazing.
I agree.
I mean, the opening with
Kate
McKinnon singing
Leonard Cohen.
God, it was amazing.
It was good.
But Tribe Called Quest, what a year.
That album is so good. it's so nice to have them back. And I mean, they're talking about touring now. Like, it sounds like it might not be the end here. Like,
yeah.
They're starting to kind of roll back on that it's over, it's over, it's over thing.
Yeah.
I hope it's not over.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So, I can't wait to see the tour, too.
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I don't go to concerts very often, but one I would definitely go
have
to.
Have you ever seen him?
No.
I saw him at Lollapalooza in 94.
Oh, man.
It was so good.
Wow, 94. Yeah,
94.
Yep. Please. What are you looking forward to in 2017 this year?
Lots of stuff. Last week, Ryan Adams put out this single from his new album. It's really terrific. The album is called Prisoner. The name of the single is called Do You Still Love Me? And there's this like haunting funeral organ on it. The whole album, I guess, addresses his divorce from Mandy Moore. And it sounds like it's going to be pretty good.
Okay,
so
you're looking forward to that, Ryan Adams.
New Metallica? Are you a fan?
I am.
Okay, do you like the new album?
I do.
I hope they tour. I mean, they haven't toured the U.S. They haven't done a proper tour since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this will be the first one in a long time. They've been kind of doing the one-off stuff at the festivals.
Right.
Be nice to have a full album.
One of the best live bands ever.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Every time I've seen them, killed.
Two summers ago at Lollapalooza, they were fantastic. And I saw them earlier this summer. I went up to Minneapolis. They were grand opening the new Minnesota Vikings stadium there. And they were absolutely phenomenal.
Always great live.
Yeah.
Always.
Still get it done. Plus new music from Arcade Fire, Lord Beck, Japan Droids.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good year, I think.
It's going to be a good year. All right, man. And people can read your stuff at Chicago by Night, which is on the Chicago Now blog.
Yep.
And you write for the Daily Herald as well. And you can you got a website, www.radiojimryan.com.
Yep.
All
right. That's it.
Jim, always a pleasure. We'll get you in here sooner than later, okay?
Thanks, sir.
All right, man. Have a great 2017.
You too.
All right, it's Jim Ryan talking about the year in music. We got to take a break. We got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN.